Okay, for today's minute, we're continuing a part two of the laws of the Beis HaKnesses, the Tzura of the Beis HaKnesses. Yesterday we discussed the Amud, we discussed where the rabbi sits, and we discussed the clock. What else do we have in the Beis HaKnesses? We have the Bima. Where is the Bima? So traditionally, now the Rambam, I really should read you the Rambam. The Rambam says that the Bima should be in the center of the shul, and the Rambam adds a few words. Rambam's words are so that everyone should be able to hear Kriya Satar, Kadesha Kol Shaine. Along comes the Kesef Mishnah. Who are the Kesef Mishnah? We just read from him, Rabbi Yosef Kaira. The Kesef Mishnah was written by the Mechaber of Shulchan Aruch. He wrote, how he did this, how he was able to put the Shulchan Aruch, and they see the Beis Yosef, and then the Kesef Mishnah is just mind boggling. But he wrote the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam, and he says, because the Rambam adds these words, that the only reason why the Bima in this should be in the center is that people should be able to hear Kriya Satar. When you're in the center of the shul, where you have no microphone and you don't have good acoustics, you need to be in the center. So that was true, the Kesef Mishnah says, in the olden days. In the olden days, they built massive Badei Knessios. Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim, these are flags. That was the star. He's talking, that was the star of the time of the Rambam. Big hasagas. By the time of the Kesef Mishnah, he says, "Ba'avoseinu harabim, we built small shuls, shtibloch, little rooms. So in the small shuls, there's not that much space, and wherever the bima is, you can hear. It's no big deal. You can put the bima wherever you want in the front. You can put the bima even in the front. This is the Kesef Mishnah. Sounds like today.
Sounds like a church, actually.
Oh, okay, but the Kesef Mishnah says." But the Kesef Mishnah says there's no problem. No problem whatsoever. You can put the bima wherever you want because the Rambam clearly says the only reason why traditionally it was in the center is Yishir. If you can hear, other many shuls will tell you that they want a bedafka in the front because in the front it's elevated and you can hear and it's better for the tzibur. There's no problem whatsoever. Now, not everyone is so happy with that because many there are some of the kadmonim. I can't give you exact sources. I don't have them. I don't remember them. I'm not familiar with who these sources are. Is that we have a tradition that the bima corresponds to the mizbeach hazohav in the Beis Hamikdash. Go into the heichal. Every part of the Beis Hakneses corresponds to one of the kelim in the Beis Hamikdash. There's the menorah, there's the shulchan, and there was the mizbeach hazav. Where is the mizbeach hazav? So if you study Masechta Midos, the mizbeach hazav was in the center of the heichal. When you come into the heichal is 40 amos long, exactly at 20 amos in the center, in between the menorah and the shulchan, in the center, 20 amos into the, again, it's 40 amos long, the heichal, 20 amos into the heichal, but the yoke in the center is where the mizbeach is positioned. And we have a tradition that the shulchan corresponds to the mizbeach hazov, and just like the mizbeach hazov must be perfectly centered in the heichal, likewise in the Beis HaKnesses, it is the bima should be perfectly centered in the Beis HaKnesses. So this is not like the Rambam, because the Rambam says the only reason why the center was done out of a convention, that people should hear. What are you talking about should hear? Kadmoyin Machulik on the Rambam. It's because it corresponds to the Mizbeach HaZav. The Mizbeach HaZav must be in the center. Yeah?
So the Rambam calls the heichal the Aram Kaidish.
The Rambam...
All
the
Sfardim, they call
the Aron Kodesh the Hekel. So the Hekel... The Aron Kodesh is the Aron Mamish. That's the Kodesh HaKadosh. That's Hekel. The Hekel is a term which sometimes refers to the Kodesh HaKadosh. Sometimes, I'm not using the term precisely. There's the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadosh. Hekel sometimes refers to the Kodesh HaKadosh, and sometimes with Hekel Chazal is used to the Kodesh. So I'm just using it. I'm using it.
Yeah,
term.
But in the layout of the Rambam shul,
yeah,
he refers to the heichal is the Aron Kodesh.
Right, because the Aron Kodesh is the Kodesh HaKadosh. When you're going up to the Aron, you're coming to the section of the Beis Hamikdash that is the Kodesh HaKadosh. But the rest of the Beis HaKnesses is the Kodesh. The Paroiches is Mavdil between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Aron, when you're going into the Aron, you're really going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Poroiches, in front of the Aron, is the Mavil Bein HaKadosh LaKadosh HaKadoshim. Outside of the Poroiches, the remainder of the Beis HaKnesses is the area, what we call the Kodesh, which has the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Mizbeach HaZav. Where was the Mizbeach HaZav in the Kodesh? Exactly in the center. Hakpad Gemurah 20 Amos, and therefore the Shulchan, the Bima should be exactly in the center. Okay, so therefore two different opinions. The Rambam appears to say that's not the Iker, because he says he adds those words. It's just convention. People should hear. Kesef Mishnah goes like that, halacha. In the middle and in the small shuls where it's not convenient to put in the center because of all different problems of architecture's layout, no big deal. Move it to the front. And indeed, there were shuls where the bima was in the front. Now, however, this became a major issue in Hungary. Major issue, because the reform came to Hungary. And you can't even begin to talk about the stories and the horror stories with the fights. World War III broke out over this, where the reform came, and it was a very big machlokes. And one of their major innovations was to put the bima on the front, on the stage. That was a major, it was like a statement. They didn't say Yukon Purkin, they put the bima on the front, the slippery slope. So if you come to a shul and the bima is on the front, it's not a matter of halacha. Okay, it's not a matter of halacha. It's a statement. We are enlightened. We are going in a different derech. And it was a taboo. Now, many, not in the beginning, there are people, there were innocent people that were not familiar with all of the customs of reform. And what?
In Hungary, there was a very unique thing called Nihilo.
Yeah.
And the reform was in Germany, and it was different.
Okay, okay.
The Nihilo still had certain orthodoxy.
Okay, right.
And certain things they brought in, innovations.
Innovations, right. It was a very sensitive. Okay, I don't know the details, but it was this is from what I've read up on. It was a very sensitive.
Yeah. Budapest and Dohany Shul, something like that. That was a Neolog Shul.
Uh huh. Okay, but this became a very sensitive. There were a lot of people that were innocent. They didn't know. Like there was a shul, and there were some people that wanted to make it in the front, because it was just more convenient, and they didn't, the other people, like very Uraim, Shleimim, they didn't know this whole big issue, and just it turned into a major fight. And there were certain shuls where there was very chashva shuls, I don't know the details, where there was no rav, no one was allowed to take the rabbanis in that shul, because the bima was not in the front. It was like a very chashva shul. It was in the front. And then a rav accepted the shtetl, and he told him, he was voted, I'm only going to come if you move the bima back. And they refused to move the bima back. And even though the silent majority did want to move the bima back, there were a few shul politics, like this goes on, Maisim Cholyom, there was a few balabatim which called the shots, and they refused, and so on and so forth. Then there was a question with a pesheichet. There was the town, where it used to be that you're not allowed to have a sheichet unless the sheichet had someone to answer to. See, everything today is a business, so we're told so far, far removed. But the communities in Europe, these little towns, a sheichet had to answer to the rav. If the sheichet was not subservient, submissive to the rav, he would. So you come to a community, there's no rav. So the sheichet is free reign. He can do whatever he wants. He doesn't answer to anyone. Is that a good sheichet? Maybe you're not allowed to eat from the meat of a sheichet where the sheichet has no one to answer to. So there was this community where the shul had the bima in the front, and it was among a charedi, a very religious environment, and all the other rabbanim put a cherim on the shul, but no one is allowed to become the rav of the shul until they put the bima back in the middle. And this community needed their own sheichet. And they hired an erlich person to be the sheichet. But the problem was, the sheichet had no one to answer to because there was no rav. So then when the next level, are you allowed to eat from the meat of this community, from the sheichet, even though he's an erlich person, but it's not. So things got way, way out of hand. So it became a taboo. Ad hayom hazeh. Ad hayom hazeh is a taboo to go into a shul where the bima is not. And then if it is in the front, how much, how close is it back? It became a mishigas. It became mamish, mishagas. The Rambam the Kesef Mishnah, Rav Yosef, the Rav Yosef Kaira. What more do you want, Rav Yosef Kaira? The Machaber of the Shulchan Aruch, he says it's no big deal. You can put the beam wherever you want. It's only that you should hear. But that's the way the world goes around. Everything gets out of hand.
Yeah,
Chassam Sofer was very against Chassam Sofer. Chodosh, awesome in Atayra. Chodosh, awesome in Atayra. Everything by the Chassam Sofer.
Sfarim b'zman hazeh all have the beam in the center. Can they get like the Mechaber?
Well, the Mechaber doesn't say. The Mechaber doesn't say. What? They die from the beam. From the beam. Right. Around the beam. Okay, I was thinking. Okay, in Echonami. Okay, but there's nothing wrong. It just in our minds, due to terrible sinaschin and machlekes, this is how, unfortunately.
In Germany, a slightly reverse situation happened when the Shimshon referral heard wanted to break away from the main community because the main community was reform. They brought in a frum, an Orthodox rabbi called Mordechai Horovitz. Mordechai Horovitz. And they built him, he said he would only come to be the Orthodox rabbi of the Reform Division if they built him a shul which followed the Orthodox pattern. So they built him an Orthodox shul.
With the beam in the middle. Okay. Now, the next thing, Paroichas. Where is the Paroichas? I mean, this I'm sure you've all seen. You go in Eretz, and Eretz Yisrael, it's very, very common. You go to these beautiful Sfarish shuls. There's no Paroichas, at least not on the outside. There's beautiful doors. And where's the Paroichas? On the inside. Ashkenazim, the Paroichas is on the outside. And why B'chal did the Paroichas? The reason why B'chal, why is there Paroichas? Who needs a Paroichas altogether? So, in fact, in many shuls, they don't have a Paroichas, and the whole question, you need a Paroichas, not in the Paroichas. It's a minikah Paroichas because of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, let's make it very clear. In the Beis Sheni, there was no wall separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim because it was raised, the Amatraksim, because the height of the binyan was raised for whatever reason, and it was impossible to construct a wall that would fit, that would be stable in the elevated ceiling of the Beis Sheni, so they had no choice but to insert two curtains, a double curtain, to be mavel bin hakodesh v'kodesh hakodesh. Therefore, certainly that's the way it was for 420 years, in front of the Aron. Well, there was no Aron in the Beis Sheni, okay, but the Mokoyim Aron. So the mail of that it goes without saying that by Ashkenazim, the Paroichas that we have in front of the Aron is a Zecher for the double Paroichas that was mavel between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Aron HaKodesh was meant to be. A Paroichas, a beautiful Paroichas. In fact, the Gemara tells that twice a year they change the Paroichas. It's very interesting. It's the very beginning. It's very Paroichas today. The cost of a Paroichas, and if you look at these catalogs and you speak to people, is just outrageous. But it's very interesting. If you go to that the Gemara says they would change the Paroichas twice a year. And the Paroichas had designs. In the Mishkan, there was an eagle and a nesher on the Paroichas. By the way, let me go off on a tangent. There's a running out of time. There's a discussion.
Nesher is not an eagle.
Okay, right. It's not an eagle, but whatever a nesher is, like I can't find the shalim. There's much discussion about the designs that you're allowed to put on the Paroichas. Stars and the moon. The Gedolei Yisrael were very against any images of the mazalos, stars, moon, and constellations. Mamshavut Zara. In Mazel Yisrael, you're not allowed to write, like the sun, you're not allowed to have a whole picture of the sun, has to be half a sun, but it's not a Yiddish thing to put images of the Mazel. What about animals? So many, we have lions on the Paroichas, we have lions, the Luchos, there are many, many opinions. But one thing, at one point I wanted to make, is that according to one of the Gedolim, he writes there, you want to be more religious than the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the Mishkan, it's Beferish, in Rashi, that it was embroidered, and one side was a nesher, and the other side was an ari, was a lion. The Paroichas that was mavdil between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Mishkan had the tsura of animals, a nesher and an ari. So to say that you're not allowed to have on the Paroichas an ari and a nesher on the Paroichas, which is a zecher for the Paroichas that existed in the Mishkan and in the Beis HaMikdash, it means you're more religious than the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's nonsense. The Mishkan, we Rashi in Chumash, read the Gemara. So that far, okay, if it's boilate, lions on top, we won't discuss lions on top, we'll talk about it soon, but being woven and designed into the parochus, that far you should not go. Okay, but we have a parochus. Now, what about the Bayis Rishon? The Bayis Rishon also had a parochus. The Bayis Rishon, there was a wall. There was a wall that was marveled between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And there was a door. There was a door. You opened up the door on Yom Kippur. Whatever, the Kohen Gadol, when he went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippurim, he went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he opened up the door. Opened up the door, so where's the parochas? In the door was also, it's a Gemara, was also a parochas. So there was a door, and after they opened up the door was a parochas. So it's interesting that the Svardim really are emulating the Bayis Rishon. Because in the Bayis Rishon, you open up the door, and after you open up the door, there's a parochas in the doorway itself, it snakes. So the Svardim, you have the beautiful doors, open up the door, and then there's the parochas that's just like the way it was in the Bayis Rishon. Ashkenazim, we have doors also. There's a whole question, do you need doors? Once you have the parochas, do you need the door? Do you need the door? So if you have the door, so you're following basically the Bayis Rishon also, because the Bayis Rishon had a door and a parochas, but the parochas was inside. Okay, we have doors for security reasons, but do we have to have a door for halachic reasons? If you only have a parochas on the outside, some say yes, some say not. Okay, it's a whole question if you really need, if you have the parochas on the outside, you really need to have a door on the inside. Believe it or not, it's very interesting. You think, what's the big have a parochas? I know, yeah, I used to have a sliding doors. The doors slide in, right? Some of the nice, fancy, high-tech, in Aron Kodesh, the doors go in, they go. There are some, right, that the very big hakpada, it was shocking to me, that the doors have to open out. They have to open out. That's the way it was traditionally. That's how it was in the Beis Hamikdash. And they used to have, it appears in ancient times, beautiful designs on the inside of the doors. They were plated with gold and they were psukim and all different things. And when they opened the doors, you can see it. So, Chodosh Osam in HaTorah, this is what it says, it was shocking to me. I didn't even think of these things. Chodosh Osam in HaTorah, to make the doors where they slide and they disappear, or they slide in, and you don't see the doors with all of the beauty and the opportunity to decorate these doors. This is Keneged Minhag Yisrael, it should not be done. Okay, but these are two different ideas. Parochas outside, inside, another idea. This is which way do you open the parochas? Do you open it from right to left or left to right? So most of our shuls, we open it from right to left. Some said it's wrong. It's just like Chanukah, Chanukah Neros is brought down, the earliest source have that you should open it from left to right, just like Chanukah Neros. Called Pina Shata, Pina Lo Yehel Yemin. Why did he come the minute to go from right to left? So it appears the Chugde is that where do you put the Sefer Torah in the Aron? The Sefer Torah in the Aron should be on the right side. That's what they, you know, you have a lot of Sefer Torah. We put it in the middle. I don't know what the big deal is. I don't know. But it appears that the minhag was that the Sefer Torah that you would take out was on the right. Nothing. Where is the Sefer Torah that you're going to read from? Right, left. But it appears in ancient times there was a hakpada that the Sefer Torah that you read from should be on the right. So if you open the parochas from left to right, it's in the way. The parochas is in the way.
That opens from the center. In other words, the parochas is
two pieces. Okay, is there meaning in that? I don't know if there's okay. But two different minhagim. Since we used to be hakpada to put the sifter on the right, and if you open the parochas from left to right, the parochas is in the way. So it became the minhag to open it from the right to the left, so it should not be in the way. That's something very interesting. I have a friend, and I'll tell you a story. Chaim Berlin, they used to have a beautiful, beautiful parochas. I really liked them. I don't know what's wrong with them. Really nice parochas. When they built a new building, whatever it was, how many years ago, a nice parochas. And, you know, it's hard to describe. And they have it over here. It's fantastic. Can you see the top of this parochas? There's these three things hanging down. Okay, there's a piece on top. Separate section, a piece on top, right? So a lot of the old shuls have that. The old design of the parochas have a parochas. And you don't want to see the hooks. You don't want to see, it doesn't look, that's what I always thought, right? It doesn't look nice to see the hooks. So you have a nice piece of material to cover the hooks, the part that it slides, and you can make it be like, over here, you have over here, these three things that hang down. So Chaim Berlin, they had the same. They had something like similar. Something similar, that was the beautiful. For whatever reason, they retired the old parochas. They retired it. They got a new parochas, and they brought in the biggest simcha you can imagine from Eretz Yisrael. It was unbelievable what was going on there. They went through many gilgulim until they finally got it the way they wanted, and many mistakes. Finally. And the parochas, the new parochas doesn't have the thing on. Just a parochas. Like every shul has a parochas. Most shuls don't have this thing on top. So there was one person there that said, What are you doing? It's a minag Yisrael. Minag Yisrael, you have to have the piece on the top. It corresponds to the kapores. The aron is an aron. You put the luchos in the aron, and on top of the aron, there was the kapores with the kruvim. The kruvim hovered over. That he knows as a child. He remembers hearing as a child from his rabbeim, from his father, Chveis, I don't know who he's from, that corresponds to the kapores. How dare you take away the kapores? So he made a big macha. They told him, I don't know what you're talking about. We never heard this before. It's nonsense. They made a new up without it. He sent a letter to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He sent a letter. Rav Chaim Kanievsky said to him, I never heard of this. Okay, but it's interesting thing to hear, to see everything, where the things come from. By the way, if you go to Emunas Yisrael in Borough Park, or by Wolfson, unbelievable goin, they have their three tracks for the parochas. In other words, you see the parochas. I was once davening there, and all of a sudden I noticed during Musaf, there's a different parochas. What happened to the parochas? Shachris is this parochas. All of a sudden, Musaf, I pick up my eyes, a different color, different design. Inside, there are three tracks, and they change for different silos. They have this different, and that's an inyan, such an inyan, that the parochas, they change the parochas twice a year. And I only saw by him, where I saw by Rabbi Shuf Chanukah. No, you have money. No, you have a lot of money. No, nothing to do with the money. So for every yom tov, there are different parochas. There is such an inyan of changing the parochas. We know the yom neroyim. We have white. Okay, that we know.
We change the parochas. But here.
What?
We change the parochas here.
Oh, what?
For yom neroyim,
of course, everyone. Yeah. The whole world changes to white. The whole world. But what about shalosh shugalim? Each one a different parochas. What about Chanukah? Rabbi Shuva, there are parochas just for Chanukah. Special for Chanukah. And there's something to it. The parochah somehow it brings out a certain hergish. It changes the whole atmosphere of the Beis HaKnesses to have a different parochah for each one of the tefillos.
Certain people I noticed
they have a minhag.
Yeah.
That when they go by, they kiss the parochah.
Yes. There's definitely, because the parochah represents, it corresponds to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Mahashras HaShchina. And the sub India. Okay, the sub India. Okay, well, maybe we'll see if we'll do more of these. But lions. That maybe we spoke that once, but we'll stop over here for today. Okay, I'll take a break now.